You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for Chicago Bears news and analysis. And so today, we're taking a closer look at some Bears on the bubble. We'll talk about the young cornerbacks on the bottom of the depth chart. We'll get to the unproven pass rushers, try and make some sense here out of this backup tight end spot with Adam Shaheen's injury kind of making things a little more murky. And we'll dive deeper into the recent emergences of Javon Wims and Ryan Nall offensively. And throughout, we'll talk a lot about special teams and how much that's going to shape this 53-man roster. I know special teams isn't the most exciting thing, but we talk all the time on this podcast about being right and making you the smarter, more informed Chicago Bears fan and football consumer. Special teams is really going to play a big factor, not only in this 53-man roster, but today on Locked On Bears. Let's start in this secondary with a crowded cornerback position, because you look the top of the depth chart, like so many other positions on this team, more or less set. You're not going to see any major moves changing guys that are going to play significant roles this year. It's Kyle Fuller, it's Prince Amukamara, it's Bryce Callahan. Sherrick McManus is your special teams ace. I'm pretty well locking in Marcus Cooper as your cornerback four, Kervon LeBlanc mostly as your cornerback five, and then with McManus kind of being six, that looks to be potentially your list of cornerbacks on this team. But they do have four undrafted rookie free agents. We've talked about two of them a lot and three of them more so than the fourth throughout this preseason. You got Kevin Tolliver out of LSU, Michael Joseph out of Dubuque, John Franklin III of Last Chance U fame, most recently out of Florida Atlantic, and then Rashard Fant, sort of the unseen and haven't really heard much from the cornerback out of Indiana. Fant, not making this team, no matter what. John Franklin, not making this team. Have not seen nearly enough from either one of them. And I'm pretty well putting Jonathan Mincy off of this roster as well. So it really kind of comes down to Kevin Tolliver, Michael Joseph, and Deron Grant for this potential seventh cornerback spot-ish. You know, maybe one of them can unseat Kervon LeBlanc or maybe Marcus Cooper, but as much as no one likes Marcus Cooper in Chicago, I think the Bears do, and he's pretty well stuck around here. And Kervon LeBlanc is still one of my favorite under-the-radar players on this roster, who I think is extremely underrated. I think he's got a spot here too. So when you look at the Grant, Joseph, Tolliver mix, Tolliver is a guy that has gotten more playing time in recent weeks. And he's a guy that a lot of fans and analysts have been intrigued about. And I can guarantee you right now, as we enter August 28th, Tuesday, the day this podcast is coming out, I'm ready to sit here and guarantee you that Kevin Tolliver will not make this Bears 53-man roster. That may be my hot take of this podcast, and I'll tell you exactly why. As much as he has all the physical tools for the cornerback position, he's made some pass breakups in training camp, this is a guy that really hasn't contributed on special teams. It's going to be the theme of this whole podcast episode. If you're talking about the bottom guys on your depth chart, they have to contribute on special teams because they're not going to see the field on offense or defense. You look at how these cornerbacks have been used on special teams. Kevin Tolliver, I believe, has been healthy and active for all four of the Bears' preseason games so far. He's played special teams in two of them for a total of five special team snaps. That's not cutting it for the 53-man roster. And that alone, I think is evidence enough that he's not sticking on the bottom of this depth chart. You look at the other cornerbacks, Deron Grant, 30 snaps in four games. It's about 7.5 a game. Michael Joseph, 38 snaps in four games, 9.5 special team snaps per game. Even Jonathan Mincy, who didn't play against the Chiefs, he has 30 special team snaps in three preseason games, 10 per. I mean, Mincy's not making this team, but Jonathan Mincy, who clearly doesn't even get opportunities on defense, is getting more run on special teams than Kevin Tolliver. It's just not something the Bears are seeing him be successful in. They're not giving him opportunities to do so in a game. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, what is he? Maybe he does a lot of special teams at practice, but I'm telling you, the Bears don't hide players with special teams usage. They are playing guys on special teams that they want to see on special teams. They want to see how well they will play special teams for them entering the regular season. And if you're a player on the roster and you're not getting a lot of playing time in the game and you're not a potential starter and rotational guy and you're not playing on special teams, those are the guys that really don't stand a chance. And Kevin Tolliver surprisingly falls in that group. It's Deron Grant and Michael Joseph that I think have the real shot at the 53-man roster. I think Kevin Tolliver has been getting more snaps here on defense because the Bears want to be sure that they want to keep him around on the practice squad, that if he shows enough defensively to be worth developing long-term at the cornerback position, then you kind of keep him around. But I think right now he's competing for practice squad only. I think Deron Grant still has a shot at the 53. Michael Joseph probably still has a shot at the 53. He's been the cornerback that's played the most defensive snaps this preseason. Like I said, special teams-wise, he's played the most of the cornerbacks that I've been able to... Well, the cornerbacks battling, I don't count like Sherrick McManus. I mean, you know, the real special teams ace in there. But a lot of long looks at Michael Joseph. Ultimately, I think when you have a young player like this that is practice squad eligible, they would prefer to put him there without much risk of losing him to another roster. Deron Grant is an interesting one because he's the guy that I think they're particularly high on because he has the experience and because you can't stash him on a practice squad anymore. That if one person's going to unseat Krevon LeBlanc or Marcus Cooper or Sherrick McManus, which I don't think is going to happen, I do think Deron Grant is the guy at the top of the list, and I'm really going to keep my eye on him as they go into this fifth preseason game, typically the fourth, the last preseason finale here. Grant is a guy that, even if he doesn't make this 53-man roster, if the Bears get 4 or 5 weeks into the season and an injury happens at cornerback, he's the one they call the street free agent who comes in, knows the system, picks back up, and is at least a potential rotational contributor who, again, can play on special teams, which Kevin Tolliver has not done. So yeah, I'm willing to bet Kevin Tolliver doesn't make this Bears 53-man roster. You know, I wish there was a way I could put my money where my mouth is a little bit there and bet on this Bears 53-man roster, because I think I could take a sports book pretty well here in trying to figure out exactly how this team is shaken down. Unfortunately, nowhere you can really place money on that. But if you're looking to get into the world of sports betting here, I highly recommend you check out our friends at mybookie.ag. MyBookie is giving Locked On Bears listeners a special offer here. On their first deposit, MyBookie will match your money dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. I was just looking at MyBookie. Right now, the line for Bears-Bills on Thursday has the Bears favored by 3. And we saw last week against the Chiefs, Chase Daniel comes out, puts up 24 points in the first half. Bears end up winning by 7. You know, you're talking about now a worse Bills team, could be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. It's not a bad bet at this point. I mean, it's always a little bit of a up in the air with when it comes to the preseason here, but if you're trying to get in on this action, I cannot recommend MyBookie enough. And of course, they're matching your deposit, so it's like free money coming back at you. Use that promo code LOCKEDON when you create your account. You'll claim the bonus, because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. So as we look at Bears on the bubble today on Locked On Bears, I want to move from one undrafted free agent that I don't think has a shot at the team, Kevin Tolliver, to the other undrafted free agent, the one that I think has the best shot of any of these UDFAs. It's Ryan Nall, the running back out of Oregon State. Or as some Oregon listeners have mentioned to me, Oregon? I will always say Oregon. That's how I was raised here in Wisconsin. My brother lives in Oregon, Wisconsin. It's always been Oregon around here, but apparently it's Oregon. So Ryan Nall from Oregon State, the running back, we talked about his performance on yesterday's podcast as a little bit of a standout from the Chiefs game. Not a lot of yards per carry, but talked about how often he's just been met in the backfield and how a lot of that is out of his control, and he's doing a pretty good job at just fighting for extra yards. But most importantly with him, we look and we come back to the central theme of today's podcast, special teams. Ryan Nall has been one of the most active special teams players on this Bears roster. And I didn't take the time to comb through every player and their special teams usage. I specifically singled out all the guys that I think are in this kind of bubble range or competing in this spot. So I can't sit here and say definitively that Ryan Nall has played the most special team snaps of any player, but he's the most of the couple dozen guys I looked at. Ryan Nall has played 50 snaps on special teams through four games. And, you know, competing with Taquan Mizell down at 32 special team snaps in four games, and Niall Davis hasn't done a ton either. He did, you know, he hasn't been here nearly as long, so it's been fewer opportunities for him also. But Nall is a guy on the punt team, on the punt return team, on the kickoff coverage team, on the kickoff return team, the four-phase guy. And that's incredibly valuable and perhaps the most critical to determining this backup running back spot. Because Jordan Howard, running back one, undisputed. Tariq Cohen, half running back, half wide receiver, undisputed. Neither one of them is really playing special teams unless Cohen is your return man. Benny Cunningham, bona fide special teams player, great third running back, good in the passing situations as a blocker, as a receiver, can make guys miss. I think Cunningham is one of the more underrated running backs in the NFL. And so then the question becomes, do the Bears keep four? The question for me is no longer who would the Bears keep if they keep four. It's only, will they keep Ryan Nall or will they just try and stash him on the practice squad? And I have a feeling, I mean, this is one of those positions that we're going to talk about a little bit with Javon Wims here in a minute, where when you start to go position by position here, you have to determine where you want your special teams players to come from, because you have backups like Kevin White that don't play special teams, and, you know, like Tariq Cohen, you know, who's technically a backup. You know, I think, you know, even like, you know, Trey Burton's not playing special teams. You've got guys in this roster that don't really play special teams. And so your special teams contributors have to come from somewhere. One option is keep a fourth running back. Ryan Nall can be a four-phase special teams player for you as an undrafted rookie free agent. The problem is, for Nall, more than anything else, the problem is the fact that he's a rookie. You know, the fact is the Bears can cut Ryan Nall this weekend from their 53-man roster, and chances are slim to none that another team is going to pick him up for their 53. You know, most of the time, you don't see undrafted rookie free agents like this cut and then picked up by another team and added to their roster right away without having been there. You know, if Nall had been, you know, just blowing up the preseason and really running all over opposing defenses in addition to his great special teams contributions, then you start to have a little bit of a different conversation. But because his offensive outputs haven't, you know, wowed you necessarily, there's no real risk of losing Ryan Nall to another team unless they really identify him as a lockdown special teams player, I guess, but it's slim to none. So that means that you can get away with releasing him, stashing him on the practice squad, and rostering someone else that you might not otherwise be able to get on your practice squad or isn't practice squad eligible, or you'd be more concerned is going to get poached by another team, which let's bring in Javon Wims to the conversation right now, because Wims is a guy, again, huge performance against the Chiefs, over 100 yards, tons of yards after the catch. He leads all wide receivers this preseason in receiving yards, tied for receiving catches, and I think touchdowns as well, tied for the lead there as well. More opportunities than everybody else, but still a lot of offensive performance from Javon Wims. But we come back to this special teams, and Javon Wims, 17 special team snaps in three games. He had a game where he didn't play on special teams. It's not a great sign for a player, and I know, you know, I'm struggling with exactly how to weigh this, because you're looking at 5 to 6 special team snaps a game, but at the same time, how many different special teams roles can a 6'4" wide receiver play? You know, it's one thing when you're a 5'11", 230-pound running back, you know, you can do a lot of different things on special teams, but, you know, Javon Wims maybe a little bit more limited, but at the same time, I think you do see bigger wide receivers find more ways to contribute on special teams. And so the question becomes, has Javon Wims shown you enough offensively in those two specific preseason performances, Chiefs and Hall of Fame game against the Ravens, to scare you enough that another team might roster him? And if you're another team looking at Javon Wims, you have to ask yourself, because he's not doing a lot on special teams, is he good enough to crack our receiver rotation right away and contribute on offense with minimal special teams contributions? And I'm not sure how many teams that applies to. You know, I think you look last year when you had the Bears with such a desperate wide receiver core, the Bills in particular were fairly desperate at receiver. You know, there are teams around the league that do have needs at wide receiver, so there's some risk there. But we are talking about a 7th-round pick, barely not an undrafted rookie free agent. And, you know, like we've talked about here before with a guy like Kylie Fitz, I'm not totally sold, even after two big offensive performances, that Javon Wims makes this 53-man roster. And I don't mean to abandon the Ryan Nall conversation. I promise he's going to get tied in here in a minute. But you talk about this wide receiver depth chart: Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, 1, 2, and 3. Kevin White, as much as I don't think he should make this 53-man roster, he is not one of the 6 best wide receivers on this team. He probably will. So I'll count Kevin White as wide receiver 4. Josh Bellamy is a lock to make this roster. There's no hope of Josh Bellamy missing this team unless he gets hurt. He's too good on special teams. Josh Bellamy, wide receiver 5. So then you're looking at, do you keep a 6th wide receiver? Which is question number 1. And then if you do, can you afford to keep another player who won't necessarily contribute that much on special teams? You know, you're already kind of hamstringing yourself at the wide receiver position with Kevin White. That on most teams, your number 4, number 5, and number 6 wide receiver all contribute to varying degrees on special teams. And Kevin White does not, and he will not. So that eliminates one special teams player for you at that wide receiver position, which means you have to make up for it somewhere. So whether that means making up for it with a special teams running back like Ryan Nall, see, I told you we'd bring it around there, or maybe it's a 7th cornerback in Deron Grant, bringing it back full circle there, a 5th linebacker with John Timu. If because Kevin White's not playing special teams, you have to make up for that lack of 4th wide receiver special teams somewhere else on your roster, right? So then if Javon Wims is also making this team as wide receiver 6, and he's not, and he doesn't do a lot of special teams, maybe he's on your kickoff group, then you have to make up for that spot on your punt team that maybe a wide receiver would normally play, or, you know, the punt return team from the blocking standpoint that a wide receiver might normally play. And then again, that adds another player at another position. Does that mean a 7th cornerback and a 5th linebacker make it, or a 5th linebacker and a 4th running back make it? Because eventually, the more of these non-hardcore special teams players you add, the more you have to make sacrifices at other positions. So in order to keep that non-special teams wide receiver 6 in Wims, you have to then keep a 4th running back, Ryan Nall, which means then maybe you can't keep 9 offensive linemen, and you have to go 8 there. Or maybe it means you can only keep 4 safeties, so you go into week 1 with Deion Bush as your only backup at the safety position. I mean, you have to make sacrifices somewhere on the roster. Or maybe it's an outside linebacker where your sixth round pick doesn't make it instead of your seventh round pick because, you know what, they had to keep another better special teams player somewhere else on your roster. It's all connected here, and that's really the most difficult part of trying to shape together this 53-man roster because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen there. And, you know, you're basically seeing your fourth running back is battling with your sixth and seventh cornerback and battling with your fifth and sixth wide receivers, battling with your fourth and fifth tight ends, battling with your fifth linebackers and your fourth, fifth, and sixth outside linebackers. It's really hard to parse through that. And I honestly do not envy Ryan Pace and Vic Fangio and Mark Helfrich and the special teams coordinator Chris Tabor for trying to make these decisions because you're not only arguing special teams, but then offensive and defensive production. Mark Helfrich and Matt Nagy might really want Javon Wims because they think he's going to be a great wide receiver, but Tabor is sitting there saying, I need special teams players. So if we're keeping Wims, then, you know, then we have to also keep, you know, Ryan Nall, which means we got to cut Deron Grant. And then Vic Fangio says, but I want Grant as a cornerback here. I think he's going to be great. So, you know, can we keep Grant and not keep Nall and then instead keep, you know, John Timu? And then, well, Mark, that means you can't keep a ninth offensive lineman. You're concerned about Kyle Long and you know, some of the health on the interior of the offensive line. And then Helfrich and Harry Heaston get concerned. I mean, it's a very complicated process. And hopefully you can see sort of the value here of special teams, like we've been talking about it. It's the theme of the episode today on Locked On Bears. Now, in a minute, we'll wrap up Locked On Bears here with a last look at some of the more difficult to determine position battles on this team. But before we get there, I want to tell you about something cool here that our friends at the Locked On Bulls podcast are doing. Somehow, some way, they've arranged bowling with Bobby Portis, the young Chicago Bulls forward. Somehow Locked On Bulls pulled some connection. Jordan Malley and Matt Peck are the hosts there. They must know somebody because they've got this set up where you can come meet and greet, take pictures, get autographs with Bobby Portis and actually go bowling with Bobby and Jordan and Matt. If you go to eventbrite.com and search bowling with Bobby, you can find tickets on there. It's Saturday, September 8th. From 2 to 6 p.m. You can find more information on the Locked On Bulls Facebook and Twitter accounts. And if you go to their Twitter account, you can actually win free VIP tickets. Of course, that includes the meet and greet and the autographs and the photo session and getting to bowl with Bobby Portis. They have a tweet. It's pinned at the top of their Twitter account. You give it a like, you give it a retweet, automatically entered to win two tickets. Sounds like a great event. It's at King's Dining and Entertainment in Chicago, and you can meet a young, blooming Chicago Bulls players. You get to watch a live recording of Locked On Bulls as well. Just sounds like an all-around great event, and it's just a great thing being put together here by one of our Chicago sister shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. So sometimes with these Bears on the bubble, you know, it's sometimes easy to kind of figure out how this roster is going to shake out. When you look at the numbers and the special teams with Kevin Tolliver, I mean, more or less that one seems easier to predict. But there's a few positions where it's really wide open, up in the air, and only Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy really know what's going to happen there. And I don't even necessarily have an answer for these positions, but you know, we'll do our best here, and at the very least, we'll kind of set the stage for what's at stake on Thursday against the Bills. Let's start with the pass rushers, because I've said before, I'm not sure Kylie Fitz makes this Bears roster. You look at the special teams breakdown for them, Edebali, 18 special team snaps in 3 games. It's 6 per game. It's not great, not bad. Kylie Fitz, 23 special team snaps in 4 games. Just under 6 per game. So Edebali and Fitz playing a similar amount of special teams. Isaiah Irving, 13 special team snaps per game, 39 in 3 games for him. So clearly, perhaps unsurprisingly, we know Isaiah Irving is making this Bears roster. It's Leonard Floyd, it's Sam Macho, it's Isaiah Irving, it's Aaron Lynch. I mean, let's be honest here. I think the Bears have been incredibly supportive of him despite him not playing at all this preseason, so I think you have your top 4 outside linebackers right there. Floyd, Acho, Lynch, Irving. they don't necessarily have to keep a fifth, but when Floyd has a club on his hand and Irving missed a game this preseason and Aaron Lynch hasn't taken the field yet, they're going to keep at least one more, potentially two more outside linebackers. And so that enters the Fitz versus Edebali conversation. And we've had bits and pieces of it here on the podcast. I don't want to try and rehash too much here, but Fitz is a guy, a promising but raw pass rushing prospect. And that's really what he is still at this point, a prospect. He's a guy that has some upside. The untapped potential is there, but you're not seeing a refined pass rusher. You're not seeing somebody who particularly holds up well against the run. And he's had two separate games this preseason without any pass rushing production on the quarterback. And right now, he, to me, is not yet an NFL caliber outside linebacker. And that doesn't mean he won't be there, and that doesn't mean he's not close. But right now, he's not a guy that I think should be seeing the field at all in the regular season. And I think Kasim Edebali is. Edebali is a guy who has played NFL regular season snaps before, has sacked NFL quarterbacks in real games. He had 5 sacks in 2015 with the New Orleans Saints. Ryan Pace had familiarity with him from back then, bounced around a little bit since, and he's not a guy I would call a proven pass rusher, not someone you want to play a ton of snaps here. But when you're as desperate as the Chicago Bears are right now at the outside linebacker position, you got to take what you can get here. And Kasim Edebali is giving you more than Kylie Fitz is today and tomorrow and the next couple weeks. Now, 6 months, 12 months from now, Kylie Fitz may and should very well be the better outside linebacker. And he's a guy that you do want to keep around in some capacity. But if the Bears release Fitz, which I'm starting to suspect a little bit more, ultimately, chances are he probably makes the team because it's sometimes a bad look when you release your actual draft picks and, you know, in the first year. So sometimes there can be some politics that go into that and some ego maybe sometimes with some general managers. So chances are that Fitz probably makes the team, but I think they could get away with cutting him. I think if you release Kylie Fitz, there's not a team in the league right now that can afford the roster spot to take on a guy that isn't necessarily ready to play regular season snaps for you. And maybe, you know, the Bears have seen enough of Fitz that they know he's close and they know he can do some stuff on special teams, so he's worth keeping around. But this is a player that I feel is more valuable to the Bears than to anybody else. And so I think they can cut him and get him on the practice squad without another team claiming him for their 53-man roster. He just hasn't shown enough on tape in the preseason, and between his injury history, his rawness as a prospect, and that lack of tape, no other team has seen enough from him this preseason to actually invest an actual 53-man roster spot in him when there's players like Kasim Edebali that don't get you excited but can at least offer you some tangible production. That's my mentality if I'm building this Bears roster. Ultimately, more goes in to building a 53-man roster than just what we see on the field. And, you know, the fact that he is a draft pick really does give him a leg up over some of the other competition. But, you know, even so, I looked back at last year. I think I mentioned it on this podcast. I tweeted it out before. A quick glance at last year's sixth round, without combing through every single player, I counted 9 quickly that were sixth-round picks released by their team at the 53-man roster deadline that weren't hurt. They were just cut and put on practice squads because they weren't at a risk of being picked up by another team. It's just something that happens every year. 9 out of the 32-plus compensatory picks, I don't know, probably closer to 40 total guys. So, you know, 1 in 4, it's not high chances, but it does tell you that it's not totally uncommon. And when you have a raw player like Fitz that hasn't necessarily produced, he's a real, I think, candidate to be one of the sixth round picks that it doesn't make the 53-man roster this year. And I wouldn't be too concerned about losing him from the practice squad unless he just chose to go to some other team's practice squad. I don't think he's a real risk to go to another 53-man roster. And then finally, the one position on this roster that I really can't get a great feel for is tight end. Because, you know, Trey Burton, Deion Sims, your top two guys, Adam Shaheen, foot injury. The Bears don't really have a lot of answers right now. I think Matt Nagy specified that they're not worried about him going on injured reserve, which means his whole season's not lost, which is encouraging. But we don't know if that means 1 week, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I mean, maybe the Bears don't know either, but you're kind of left then, how does that shape your 53-man roster? Because if, you know, you probably were going to keep four tight ends as is just because it's a tight end heavy offense. So then do you roster five tight ends on your 53-man roster because Shaheen is hurt? Or do you just roll with three and an injured Shaheen until Shaheen is ready and then feel more comfortable with four? Because you got Daniel Brown, who I would consider the favorite as the fourth tight end. He's been the one that makes the roster the last couple years, and Broniker doesn't. But Broniker is right there. And they both played an equal number of snaps in the last preseason game. You look at their preseasons as a whole, I think you've been seeing a little bit more Daniel Brown. Looks to be about 40 snaps different, actually. And most of those, of course, are as a receiver because Brown is more of the receiving tight end. But Broniker's looked good. He's showing you some threat in the passing game. And Brown has never been a particularly great blocker. And so, you know, Brown is more in that Burton role and Broniker's more in the Sims role. And if Shaheen's kind of trying to do both, you know, where does that leave you with your fourth and fifth tight ends? I mean, we don't have much of an indication here other than previous experience says they like Daniel Brown more. But, you know, because they're both special teams guys, Broniker maybe a little bit more, but both have been playing pretty regularly there, about 10 a game this preseason. You know, that comes back to our conversation that maybe you keep a fifth tight end to make up for keeping Javon Wims, who doesn't offer a lot on special teams, and maybe then you keep that fifth tight end instead of that fourth running back, Ryan Null. I mean, it's all kind of coming together, and you have guys competing against players for a roster spot that aren't at their own natural position. To me, that's the most fun part of these 53-man roster shakedowns, and it's what makes this last preseason game worth tuning into. We'll be breaking it down all week here on Locked On Bears. We'll cross over with Locked On Bills on our next episode, try and get a feel for what Buffalo is going to throw at the Bears this week. We'll break down players to watch for, and then afterwards, we'll talk about what we learned and probably send a full 53-man roster prediction headed your way on Friday when we've seen all we're going to see and the cutdown is right around the corner. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you're not missing out on any of our daily Chicago Bears podcast. It's news and analysis in your ears 5 days a week. Appreciate everybody that's tuning in every day. Hope it's a part of your regular podcast listening routine. And if you do want to do us a favor, I'd appreciate it if you tell a friend about Locked On Bears. Get us in their regular podcast listening routine. We're the only daily Chicago Bears podcast bringing you the latest and greatest from Halas Hall, breaking down every angle of preseason football. If you're relatively new to the show, it only gets better as we get into the regular season. We'll stop talking about fifth string tight ends and seventh depth chart spot cornerbacks and special teams and wide receivers. We'll have more substantive NFL caliber starter football analysis coming your way. Hope you'll stick around. Hope you'll keep tuning back in. I appreciate, again, I get great feedback from you guys, the loyal listeners, the informed Chicago Bears fan, and I do this for you. It's a lot of fun for me. I love talking Chicago Bears, and I love giving you a reason to bear down.